usually stay with the lectionary because it makes me look at texts from Scripture that I may not necessarily like to look at. And this week, I had made up my mind I was going to preach about Micah. I like Micah. Unfortunately, when I sat down to type my sermon yesterday, a whole different sermon came out. It happens that way, unfortunately, at times. Or maybe that's fortunately. Maybe that means that perhaps I'm being more open to God than I realize at times. So anyway, today we're looking at the Beatitudes, much to my chagrin. I've had a love-hate relationship with the Beatitudes, even though my name is based on that very same word out of Latin, beata. But I've had a love-hate relationship with this particular passage for years. You have to realize I grew up down the mountains where fire and brimstone was pretty popular. And any time they could hit you over the head with something to make you be good, they did. And so the Beatitudes came another layer upon the Ten Commandments of all the things you are shoulding, or you should to do, you know. You should do this, you should do that. Some of you have been through that kind of thing. And so it became another kind of way of saying, well, if you want to be in God's good graces, well, you better do this. Add to that, that on the mountain road, as you're going around this nice big hairpin curve on the top of a mountain where there's no guardrail, there'll be a sign that says, prepare to meet thy God. Some of you may have seen some of those signs. And so I grew up in that kind of environment with the Beatitudes being interpreted as something that didn't seem very blessed to me. So as I've worked with the text this week and I've looked at it, I've had to try to open my heart and say, okay, God really means this to say something kinder than what I heard as a child. And so I've looked at the Beatitudes, and I've come to the conclusion, at least partway, that the problem in many ways is the translation, and then our hearing of the words. Many of you come from places where you speak other languages. You try to turn something into English, does it work always? Not very well. There are concepts that cannot be reduced to one little English word. It just doesn't work. And what it might mean in one word, in one culture, to say even a word simple like love can mean several different things in another culture. And so when I've looked at the Beatitudes this week, I keep looking at it and saying, okay, what did it mean in the original context? You have to understand, and a lot of you know this already, that Jesus was raised as a good Jewish boy. His frame of reference would be the Hebrew Scriptures. His language would have been Aramaic. When the evangelist wrote down what Jesus said in Matthew, it ended up in Greek. That's one translation. Okay, then the church in all of its wisdom decided the Bible should be translated into Latin. Translation number two. Then they translated the Latin into, bless their hearts, English. Talk about getting lost in translation. I think there's a lot. The Beatitudes never appeared. That word does not appear in the original text in Greek. It's a word that means blessed. And yet, we have these interesting connotations for blessing. We'll say, oh, what a blessing. My kids all got to get together over Thanksgiving. That's not what it meant to Jesus. What blessed meant to Jesus was more in terms of, remember I said, the Hebrew learning. Like Psalm 1, it says, happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path of the sinner's tread or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. What Jesus is meaning by blessed or happy, as it's sometimes translated, is really a concept of being in a wonderful, good, right relationship with God. And these people that are talking about in Psalm 1 that meditate on God's law day and night are not sitting there going, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this. They are studying that to understand God and to develop that relationship with God. So when Jesus is teaching in this, what is called the Beatitudes, the hangover from the Latin translation, what he's really saying to people is, you are in a wonderful, good relationship with God. And then it says all of these things. The poor in spirit. We are poor. We're thinking of the people who don't have enough money to buy food, pay rent, have housing, no clothes. But poor in spirit is a whole nother concept. It's the idea that you are recognizing that God is supreme, that God's the most important thing. And poor in spirit is saying that you are humble in the eyes of God and that you recognize God as the one and most significant element of life. A very different concept than what we come up with when we read poor. The same way as when we read, blessed are they who mourn. We think about people who are grieving for loved ones that have died. That's what we think of in the context of mourn. And yet, in Jesus' time, what he is really talking about are people that are looking around at the injustices of their world and weeping that those injustices exist. In Jesus' time, the world was relatively prosperous. The Romans made sure everything was stable. But they also charged very high taxes. And the highest or the heaviest burden of the taxes was on the people who could least afford to pay them. It was a country run for the wealthy and the powerful. And the poor paid the price. So heavy was the price that small farmers, day laborers, would sell members of their family into slavery in order to have the money to pay their taxes. So the blessed, those who are in the right relationship with God, are the ones that look at this world and say, this is wrong. This is against everything God stands for. And so those people who weep, who mourn, are mourning the unfairness of the world. So again, it's connotations from a different time and place. Blessed are the meek. That's the one I always hated as a kid. People started teasing me, making fun of me, and I was supposed to just, you know, oh, okay. Somebody order you around, you're supposed to go, oh, okay. That's not what meek means. It actually describes Moses as meek. Can you imagine Moses just going, oh, okay? I can't. Jesus is also described as meek. Meek in this context is meaning something that is more about compassion and kindness. Wow, is that different from the way we think? Compassion. And so we have a whole array of things in the Beatitudes that are not necessarily as we think of them. Merciful. about forgiveness. And if you have been forgiven, then you are able to forgive. What is happening in all of the Beatitudes is we're finding a description of God in many, many ways. And what is being raised up by Jesus is an encouragement to seek to be like God, who is described as having abiding love, steadfast love. God is slow to anger. But that steadfast love endures forever. And so Jesus is giving us, in many ways, a description of God who we will seek to be like and who we seek to be in a good relationship with. And if we are, then as God's children, chosen by God, we will naturally be wanting to do these very things. It is who we are as God's children. And yes, the people of Jesus' time, as well as we, can look at the world around us and we can say, yeah, these injustices exist in our world. As we hear on the news that the wealth is held in a smaller and smaller percentage of people, by a smaller and smaller percentage of people, we have to be shaking our heads at, oh my gosh, the whole world is in the hands of the rich and the powerful. And there's something wrong there. We have to look at our world around us. And then we are called not just to say, oh, well, that's the way it is. But God is calling us to try to address these things. And if we are the peacemakers, as it calls us to be in the Beatitudes, we are ones that are being called to reconcile the differences in the world. We are being called to right injustices. We are being called to stand up like the prophets did before us. And what happened to them? They were persecuted. And if they were persecuted because they'd stood up for what was unpopular, against the grain in society, we have to expect the same thing. And no, these things will not all be made right in this world. But God's kingdom has come. It may not be fully realized yet, but we work towards that realization with God. We're partners with God. And so we work with God that God's ultimate kingdom will become a reality. And the Beatitudes are reassuring us, saying to us, keep working on it, keep working on it. There's hope. It will happen in God's time. And so we take the steps to do the things that we do, even in the face of ridicule, even in the face of discrimination, even in the face of being unpopular, and we do it, trusting and knowing that God's will ultimately be done, and God's kingdom will come. Just as we pray every week when we say the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And in the meantime, when we feel like we're being picked on and discriminated against, and people are angry at us because we're taking an unpopular point of view or position, we can remember an old adage that says, with God, you're a majority of one. Let us work with God for God's kingdom. Let us pray. O Oh God, help us to open our eyes, to see the world as it is, and to see the world as you would have it be. May we be blessed and be in a wonderful relationship with you, knowing your love encompasses all, that you support us as we even take the unpopular stands. Be with us, God, we pray, and lead us in your path. Amen.
Please join me to affirm our faith. In a broken and hurtful world, the Spirit gave us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ and the Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries, church and cultures, to hear the voices of the people in silence, and to work with the others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy, joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and earth, praying, come, Lord Jesus.